Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 2015 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2015 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, August 13, 2015. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued August 12, 2015, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our Chairman and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, I will just make a few short comments only, because you will hear less and less from me in the future, and you will hear more and more from our president, our very competent president and chief financial officer. I will just give you a very short flavor of where we are. I'll just cover the two subjects, our present operations and our Cauquenes expansion. As you know, we had to make, after the quarter, a quarter which was certainly not a good one from the financial point of view, but also from operations, it wasn't great. I'm sure Rob will comment on that. You know that after the quarter, we shut down the Colibri historical tailings production. That was necessary because, as the press release says, of the deterioration of the material. I just want to give a flavor for that. It was not only that we encountered lower grades, which of course has also an effect on recoveries, but what was very important was that we encountered significantly less coarse material. That had the major effect on recoveries. When we did a calculation on that basis and considering present metal prices, we just couldn't see that it would be worthwhile to continue operating in Colibri because we were losing money in the last two or three months from that operation. We have shut down Colibri, and that freed up quite a few people, which we are now using in the construction of Cauquenes. As we said in our press release, we are on schedule and on budget at this point. And despite the fact that we have to battle against an El Nino year this year, we are still very confident that we will be in production in the fourth quarter of this year, and that will be very important for our future because, again, as we have said in the past already, we are expecting a significant reduction in operating costs once we start production from Cauquenes. So, as I said, despite the fact that we encountered very heavy rains in the last little while in Chile, we are still confident that we will be operating in the fourth quarter, and that's quite an achievement considering that we only closed the financing for this project at the end of March, and we are now probably between 75% and 80% complete in this project. One of the reasons that we are confident is that we anticipated that we could run into the El Nino situation, and we therefore advanced the civil works as fast as we could for the sumps, for the construction of the road, and so on. And we have basically completed that, and that helps us to keep our schedule. I think that's basically what I'd like to say. As you know, the prices of commodities, and of course also copper, has further come down since the end of the quarter. So, don't expect any miracles in the third quarter, but we, as I said, we certainly hope to show significant better results in the fourth quarter of this year. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Rob to give you a little bit more details and more flavor to the operations and to Cauquenes.
Thanks, Klaus. And as Klaus mentioned, the second quarter of this year was another tough quarter from operations perspective, predominantly due to the low production from Colihues. However, MVC did well to contain costs, and they operated safely with no employee lost time incidents. MVC produced 9.1 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $2.15 per pound. And as Klaus mentioned, after the quarter ended, we suspended production from Colihues on July the 20th, primarily in response to the ongoing low copper prices. This suspension was approximately 3 months earlier than planned, as the tailings contained in the scheduled extraction zone contained way more quantities of fine material than we expected, and this adversely affected tonnage and recovery of copper from the zone. So with Colihues ending 3 months early, we revised our annual production guidance down to a range of 43 to 48 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $195 to $215 per pound of copper. The operational efforts have been refocused on the development of the Cauquenes tailings deposit, which, as Klaus mentioned, is on budget and on target to commence production in Q4 this year. And the first phase of this project is expected to significantly increase MVC's annual copper production to approximately 70 million pounds per year and reduce the unit cash cost to below 175 per pound. And that would be a material difference from where we are today. As Klaus mentioned, the project is over 75% complete and going well despite the rains. The molybdenum production remains suspended due to the prevailing low moly prices and the low moly grade in our feed material. Our focus is on cost reduction efforts right now, and we are paying particular attention to our labor administration and services cost reduction potentials. We have redeployed Kaliwas workers to assist on accelerating Kalkenis, and MBC are implementing a number of continuous improvement initiatives, mainly to reduce power costs and improve metal recovery going forward. So essentially, the focus on the next two quarters is getting Kalkenis up and running as fast as we can and to bring costs as low as we can, costs down as low as we can. I'll now hand over to Aurora Davidson to discuss the Q2 financials.
Thank you, Klaus and Rob. As has been mentioned earlier in the call, the second quarter results for Amerigo were affected by lower than expected production levels and also by low copper prices, both of which contributed to the company posting a net loss of $2 million or 1 cent per share. On the positive side, MVC has continued to make important progress reducing operating costs. While the results of these efforts are not readily apparent on a unit cost basis due to our current low production levels, we expect them to have a significant positive impact once the Cauquenes operations commence later this year. Cost reductions have contributed to the company continuing to generate operating cash flow on a year-to-date basis despite low copper prices and low production. A substantial part of our efforts in this year have concentrated in the Cauquenes expansion, which is scheduled to be completed in time, in budget, and to be fully funded from the company's existing facilities, even if current low copper prices persist. At June 30th, funding of $40.3 million had been received from the main bank facilities with BBVA and Export Development Canada, and the first interest payment on those facilities took place precisely on June 30th. The first capital repayment on the main facility scheduled for June 30th, 2016. At June 30th, the company had a cash position of $12.7 million and working capital of $12.8 million. At the same date, we also had $58.2 million of undrawn committed credit facilities which ensure the completion of the project and the continuity of operations under current low copper prices. That is the extent of my comments, and I think that we're now open for questions.
Operator, ready to take questions, please.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register, and we thank you for your patience. The first question is from John Tumazoff from Homedale. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello. Thank you for having the call. How many days of ore stockpiles do you have at the mill? And are operations at El Teniente stable and normal despite the protests or blockades or actions at a couple of other Codelco sites?
Hi, John. In regard to your first question, stockpiles, essentially we don't have any stockpiles. We've got all the tailings material in the impoundments in Kaukenas and Kaliwes, so it's there to take up, but we don't have any additional material outside of that. And the material we get from El Teniente basically comes straight down the tailings line, so there's no impoundment for the fresh tailings. So essentially we have no stockpiles, and we never have had any stockpiles. El Teniente is running normally with regard to the strikes and things like that. They haven't been affected like some of the other mines in the north from Codelco. So essentially, El Teniente is running normally. They have had some issues with water up at one of their mills on the open pits. So they've slowed down the open pit production, which is actually good for us because that material doesn't have good recoveries. But essentially, Teniente is running well, and the recoveries and the grades are good from El Teniente.
If you could help us understand the local culture, why do employees or contractors of Codelco ask for large raises when the price of copper is almost half of peak levels?
That's a very complicated question. You know, we just had a discussion just this morning and yesterday. First of all, I think there are still a lot of people, politicians, I would say industry leaders, definitely union leaders, who just don't believe that this is the real copper price. They think this is just like 2008, 2009, quick a downturn and a quick upturn. And therefore, you know, they feel pretty confident. I think that, you know, that has a lot to do with it. Secondly, there has always been a difference in pay structure between employees of Codelco and contractors. You know, when you go back in history, that has been something which ever so often boils over. So, you know, I mean, you are certainly correct to ask, why would it boil over at this terrible time of commodity prices? But you know, as we are told, these people and these unions, they don't really care whether a company makes money or not. They just look at their own benefit and they say, well, you know, we will get something out of it. I think that's sort of the mindset.
I can ask one more. If Codelco had difficulties with its finances and the CapEx at El Teniente by Codelco was half of planned levels, how long do you think El Teniente would continue to produce at current rates?
That's an interesting question. I would say, you know, still for a significant time. I mean, their new level construction that they're budgeted to build, and they're halfway building through already, takes them out for another 40 years. So, you know, if they were only to do a portion of that, I don't know what the ratio is to years to dollars, but I would hazard a guess it would still be good for another 10 to 15 years, even if they stopped developing, you know.
So you're a stronger Codelco operation.
El Teniente is a remarkable ore body. It is huge. It's massive. and it's, you know, continuous. So it is certainly one of the best Codelco operations out there.
The reason I ask that question is the copper price is very close to a level where Codelco would borrow from the Treasury rather than finance it.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And the $3 billion investment in Minas Trojalas, if it were a private company with IFRS accounting, would be an impairment based on the failure to recover arsenic and the difficulty marketing concentrates. And the politicians aren't going to want to fund capital programs that are failures when they could steal or spend the money.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's a political decision. We don't know what they would do, but you know, just one thought, and I have no information, you know, about how this would be implied. But Chile has a huge, what do you call that? A huge fund.
Sovereign fund,
which they have accumulated, the state has accumulated over the past years when copper prices were very good. Now, you know, what they will do with that sovereign fund, I don't know, but I'm just mentioning that they do have that.
Congratulations on your survival and progress.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Stephen Otteridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good day, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Stephen.
Question for you is, what can you compare the grade that you're going to be getting from Cauquenes with the grade you've been getting from Collahuasi?
Yeah, sure. Just in very rough terms, the grade from the fresh is 0.1. The grade from Collahuasi is meant to be 0.2, although it's been less than 0.2. And the grade from Cauquenes is in the order of 0.3.
Okay, so you're going to be about three times the grade of Collahuasi then?
Oh, three times the grade of fresh. So, you know,
oh, the fresh, sorry. Fresh.
1.5 times the grade.
Yeah.
Of Collahuasi.
Okay. Now, the other...
But lately, Rob, lately, as you said, Collahuasi was down, so Collahuasi was at about 0.15.
Correct, yeah.
So the grade at Cauquenes will be double of what we were encountering in the last few months.
Right.
Now, you mentioned that the material in Collahuasi was a lot of very fine material, and that was affecting your recovery. Why is that? It's already ground to a smaller particle size. If it's
it is. But what, you know, our biggest cost item at MBC is our grinding mills. And what that does is break up the coarse particles and liberate the copper that hasn't been liberated previously.
Uh-huh.
So when you feed it a bunch of bug dust, there is no copper to be liberated, and you don't see any huge benefit in recovery. So where we mining from in Collahuasi, that happens to be where all the slimes have migrated from the years of deposition in Collahuasi. All the very fine material has migrated to the zone where we were operating in. And that very fine material doesn't have the coarse, unliberated copper. And in addition, that fine material takes a lot of flotation residence time to get the copper out. So there are a number of factors, but essentially the fine material is not good stuff for the plant. The plant is not really designed for fine material, and we rely on grinding the coarse material to get most of our copper. So when there's no coarse material, we see a reduction in copper recovery.
And we're expecting coarse material in Cauquenes.
We do. We have drill holes in Cauquenes. We didn't have any drill holes in Collahuasi, so at least we have data in Cauquenes, so we know what we're getting into. We've done the tests to show that the material is there, so we're a lot more confident of the material in Cauquenes.
Okay.
And the reason for that we have drill holes in Cauquenes is because that was and is a dry tailings pond, and while, as you may know, Colivas was almost 80% covered with water.
Okay. When you pay royalties to Codelco, it's the same royalty, you know, whether it's coming from fresh tailings or from, say, Cauquenes?
No. No, it's a different formula. The royalty for Cauquenes is higher than for the fresh.
That's because of the grade, is that? Is
yes.
That why
Yep.
Okay. And you said it's raining a lot down at Rancagua right now, right?
Not today, but
it has been
last week. Very heavy. One day over 100 millimeters.
Yeah, you can send that to Vancouver. But that's going to be, presumably this rain is going to be good for the hydro generation into the future. Is that correct? To keep the power
costs? That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
That'll help.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, we rely on water for our hydraulic monitoring. So we have an area in Colivas that collects water, and that's above target in terms of filling with water. So we're confident we'll have enough water to operate next year.
Okay, so the water goes to Colivas, over to Cauquenes then to pump the material down.
Okay. So we store the water in Colivas and pump it up to Cauquenes, correct?
Yeah. Okay, well, that'll do for me. Let somebody else have a go.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone, for attending our Q2 call, and we look forward to talking to you again for our Q3 call, which will be in November. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.